I've been involved with, wait, I'm Stuart Allen, here. You can reach me at that email address. I've been involved with open source since the early 90s, dabbled in Linux kernel development, but mostly my projects have been standalone applications and libraries. Been the technical founder of several companies over the last 30 years, and I've managed to thread open source work through those companies and got them to release pretty significant packages as open source internal works that have, like data processing libraries and things like that. And over the last 10 years, I've become increasingly enamored with the idea of not having to install software anymore, at least not on the desktop. So I'm going to walk you through a little bit of backstory for that. I don't like slides, so most of this will actually be a live demo of different applications walking you through the functionality. But I will walk through just a little bit of the technology and the backstory for that first before sort of hopping into this. So it'll be a bit of a high wire act. Let's see here. Bullet points. Excellent. So this is just the rough order of things that I'm going to talk about. I'm not good at following directions, even when I've written them, maybe especially when I've written them. So I might wander a little bit. Keep me on topic if I do ramble a little bit, or if I talk too quickly, definitely let me know. I'm prone to do that, which is why I didn't have any espresso today, at least not until this is over. Okay, so on to a little bit of backstory. All right, since we are talking about maker tools, I wanted to just have a slide about making, but not dwell on it too long. While I was organizing these slides, it always turns into something other than what you start out. I had an idea when I went into this, and then what came out of it was kind of different, with the exception of the demo parts. It had occurred to me that the proliferation of really powerful and accessible tools has turned really everybody into makers. And this is historically anomalous. Like, we've had tools in the past, but the kind of tools we have now are really incredibly powerful. My starting point as a maker was in the 70s. My older brother purchased a TRS-80 Model 3 and abandoned it. So it became mine. And from that point, I basically learned BASIC by typing in programs at a Byte magazine, and so I was a touch typist by the time I was 10 because I was like this, you know, trying to get programs in faster. You know, and that terminal window was, for me, a portal into an entirely, you know, new universe. And I can't really overstate how profound that was for me at the time as I learned to code. Exploring this whole new world that you could just sort of create on the fly in front of you. And like, you had to use your imagination a little more than you do today, you know, with 3D and all the great stuff we have and VR. So imagination can be a powerful thing. I've been giving away software since about the time that I learned to code. Back then we called it shareware. We used bulletin boards to get our creations out of their nest at an incredibly slow rate, but they would make it around the world. Based on the letters and even checks that I got from around the world at the time. Unfortunately, I was like 12 when I did this, and I made up a company and I put it on the software title screen, and people sent me checks written out to that company that didn't exist, and I couldn't cash them. So, you know, lesson learned. Let's see, back to the point. The difference in time now in history is that we are all makers to some extent, from, I would say, the ridiculous to the profound, as I have here in a bullet point. And I would have said that before ChatGPT and Midjourney and all the other kind of stuff that's out there today, but that just sort of serves to underscore the point, right? We can all be creators in a way that has really not been possible before. I guess that's sort of a debate. Let's see. Did I miss a slide? No, I didn't. This is the first time I'm using this, and the first time I'm presenting in like 5 years, so bear with me as I sort of like find my footing. Okay. I don't actually read the bullet points. The things that I say are, these are just inspirational things. The things that I say are just related to that. Why are browsers called browsers? We haven't called PCs word processors since the 80s. And it has to do with where they came from. I'm sure that there are a lot of people here who could better tell the story and the history of browsers, how they came to be, and the motivations of the people behind them. But I think it's safe to say that the early creators were focused on document hyperlinking, sharing of knowledge, not progressive web apps and the browser sandbox, which is where we are today, many decades later. And so the reason it took us this long to get here is because we did start off from a document-centric view of the web, and that outside of mostly closed self-referential sites like Wikipedia, I don't think that hyperlinking really is what it was envisioned to be, right? Link rot is sort of the order of the day. What has been far more successful is the evolution of the browser as an application platform. Okay, so this brings us to sort of the inherent and natural tensions of today. I've grown skeptical of the way that we distribute software, the software itself, pretty weary of uninstalling, reinstalling, cleaning up and organizing. Do you really know what's in the software that you're installing on your machine, what it contains, and to what extent should you have to worry at all about this, right? Containerization on the server side has not really delivered us from complexity, which is totally a topic for another day. But since we are talking about containerization, it's related. Decades on, there's still really no cross-platform application development environment that works really across platforms. Like, I spent way too much time in the Java world, mostly enterprise, but you know, even their take on AWT and all the other things that came after that were pretty horrendous. The toolkits that you can use now and try to get cross-platform, it really don't work. So the fact that mobile, tablets, touch, new interfaces further complicate the ability to create applications that run in multiple different formats. And the cloud has created more tensions around data privacy and questions of individual agency. So hopefully, let's see if I actually address this in the next slide. This brings us to progressive web apps. I don't know if you know, are you familiar with this term, HTML5 and CSS. Progressive web apps are basically web pages that can be self-standing. At the end of the day, if you add a manifest and some service workers, they'll cache their own data, they can be installed and run offline. And so this is why my background has been in high-performance computing, embedded systems, but I've ended up on the other end of the spectrum building web-based applications. And so there are a lot of people who will question the performance of JavaScript in general, in the browser. I hope to address all of that. My coding arc, as I said, started with BASIC. It went through C, TickleTK, Perl, other scripting languages, embedded systems, Java for a couple of decades, a detour through Verilog, doing FPGAs and some of these real-time systems for quantum computers, actually, before landing on JavaScript, oddly, while doing a prototype in sort of like the late or around 2010. So over the years, I've spent way too much time struggling with cross-platform and UI issues, and I think that open source progressive web apps are really a solution for a lot of these problems. So let's see. They are deemed trusted because they're running in the browser sandbox. And I lost my place on my, because I wrote way too many notes for this slide. And so give me a second while I try to find where I was. I'm going to skip this. And I'm going to spend more time on the demo. You don't want to hear me talk about this much more. I will say that Android and Chromium are friendlier platforms than iOS. Apple is not really keen on progressive web apps because they compete with the App Store. If you think about it, if you have really good progressive web apps that you can install off a web page and run them offline and have access to all the modern web standards like WebUSB and Web Serial and all these other things, you don't really need the App Store and app frameworks as much. And so they've done a pretty good job of trying to hobble WebKit and enforce its use on iOS. You used to be able to run Chromium on iOS without WebKit, and you had all these things, and they're like, no, for security reasons, we can't do that. Well, not really the case, but it does serve the purpose of enforcing the App Store hegemony. All right, so all the apps I'm going to be presenting today are single-page progressive web apps, installable, runnable offline, fully open source, MIT licensed, been around for quite a while in some cases. I'm not sure if I want to spend a ton of time on this. Just these are the pros and cons sort of as I see it. For me, faster development time is the thing that I care the most about. It is basically a page load away from testing new code, which is a sub-second process for the most part, as you'll see. I spent a year one day trying to add a small feature to an open source popular Python package, and the dev test restart process took 3 minutes. And I was like, this is insane. Like, I basically modify code, I hit reload, and I'm testing it immediately. Developer tools, especially Chromium, are shockingly good. I'm just going to leave it at that for right now. All right, so this is setting up or teeing up the first application that I'm going to show you. So I promise I'm almost to the demo. A lot of my early making was in CNC, solid modeling, electronics, robotics, and things like that, autonomous vehicles, sorry. And then around 2012, I started getting heavily involved in 3D printing. And you'll see a couple of my early projects here. Slicers of the day were painfully slow. They produced output that was suboptimal for the things that I was trying to make and the strength that I wanted.